Hello, welcome to the Honest Wargamer. I'm your host, Rob. I'm joined by Mr. Val.
That's your host, Rob. And I'm joined by Val Applefinger.
Can we just say that me and Val are twinsies now on the headsets?
Oh, look at that.
Look at that. Look at that. That's nothing but a compliment. I'll take that.
Hey, man. Yeah, I just need to get this out of the way immediately. Pete and I recorded Chapter Tactics last night with the legendary Pablo Martinez. And this sucks. Like, I'm experiencing maybe 1 or 2% of what Pete goes through on a weekly basis to do this show. Mm-hmm. And it's a nightmare. It is a nightmare. We were up late, now we're up early, and this sucks. Sucks deep, man. Only thing getting me through this is you.
Oh.
So it's Rob. You're the light at the end of this blurry, crusty tunnel.
My appreciation to you for being here, and also every week for Pete. Wow. You guys won't hear this, but most often at the end of a show, I'm always like, thanks so much for being here, guys. I really appreciate it. Pete's like, yeah, no worries. And I'm like, I'm going back to sleep now for the rest of the not sleep that I've had. Can I thank the Adequate Wargamer for subscribing? Annie Green Gable for subscribing for the very first time, and Archeon's Chosen for subscribing. Pete hasn't answered the call. We've lit the fires, but Gondor has not answered. That's fine,
understandable.
Right?
It's okay. Understandable. And he just might tumble in at some later point. It could happen where he just appears. Happen.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you being here and making the effort. Thank you so much. Are you well? Catch us up. Twitch chat also, massive love to you all for being here. Can't thank you enough. Big love. What's going on? They also appreciate you. Lots of appreciating you in the chat. Have you been well? It's a big week this week.
Yeah, been. Fuck, I still owe you a list of those things. Shit, I want those things. Damn it. Well, you know, if it wasn't for the last minute, my man, nothing would get done. And on the bright side, I started two or three weeks out this time, which has been a lifetime of time for me for what I usually do, which is panic and slap everything together at the very last millisecond. Sometimes even during what I'm doing, I'm creating it. Like right now, for example, sentence by sentence. So I feel like we are much more prepared, and I think the show is going to look great.
That's great. So I saw.
And we are, of course, talking about the Las Vegas Open.
Of course, thank you.
For those who are wondering what the hell I'm talking about.
Which is this weekend.
Also this weekend, yes.
Also this weekend, which you'll be able to watch live on Twitch. No, maybe it's just on YouTube, in fact. Is it just on YouTube?
I'm just going to slather the internet in like a nice coating of the Las Vegas Open.
Okay.
If you have like 1 or 2 followers, let me know. I'll stream directly to your channel. No problem.
Parade of Pain says
you can host.
Parade of Pain says got my shirt on the way in Open. Can't wait to watch the Open, says Nikki DeWilliams. A lot of love there. Sir Callum, thanks for subscribing. Subscribing? Have I said that weird? That's right. I'm pretty certain. Lots going on for you and the PewDiePie and the Nopen team for this weekend. I did happen to catch the obviously honey-tongued Paul Murphy putting up a tester shot actually on Twitter yesterday. I don't know if the behind-the-scenes studio has been leaked a little bit on Twitter. I was a little bit concerned. I tweeted about it. I'm not sure if you would have seen it. I did say I was a little concerned that you guys might not put enough branding all over it, but don't worry. I don't think you missed the mark.
We're making dozens of dollars from our placements. It's going to be awesome. This charity won't even notice our existence. That's not true at all. We have somehow, actually, thanks to, I think, our lovely, delightful friends in Spain, who have been live streaming a lot about the Nopen coming up, because we have Spanish coverage. Mm. So there's literally a Spanish language desk that will be doing whatever they're doing, because they're not like, it's like a completely different broadcast from us. They're just like going to follow the same games. But anyway, so yeah, they've got, we're up over a grand, I think, for the Global Foundation. Wow. Jeez, Val. Wow. It's the Coronavirus Relief Fund from the Global Village something.
Okay, no, that's good though. You're making money to give money away. You're a Bernie pro. Yeah, you're doing it. You're smashing it. Massive love. Can before we talk more about it, can I thank W. Soren, who's just been very generous and kind in donating 5 gift subscriptions in the chat. So to Hiking, Bolt John, Skells, Shackleton's, and also Adam73. So massive thank you to W. Soren, who's based down in Texas, who have still been I really fall in love with Texans quite a bit. I had one of the Texans on the show last year sometime. Obviously they've been every day, so I'm not even sure when, but like, brilliant. It sounds like they've got like a really healthy Age of Sigmar community, at least. Not 100% certain on the 40k community. You and Pete could be able to give me more info on that, but feels like a really solid place to go play Warhammer. It feels, anyway.
Tejas,
go on.
In Tejas,
Tejas.
Tejas.
Texas. Texas.
Texas.
Yeah.
I was learning about sibilant and non-sibilant S's, and I am very sibilant, and apparently Texans do their S's back here somewhere. Yes. So it's more of a sh than a s. I'm a very s kind of guy. In Texas, more of a sh, sh kind of play. Yeah, I watched like an hour of those for some reason yesterday. I was going to say, because for some reason I didn't know this 2 seconds ago, it's the Global Giving Coronavirus Relief Fund. Mm. And it is, I really like this charity. Pete found it because what it is really, it's a fund of money. And then if you're a local organization somewhere in the world, you can apply to their fund and get a grant from them. So giving to this, you're actually giving to all sorts of like very more micro projects, much smaller, but a lot of times those small projects have much bigger impacts. So it's that, you know, developing countries, and it's truly global. And I think kind of reflects the efforts that we're doing, because we got help and content producers from all over. Pete pointed out that, like I said this last night on Chapter Tactics. Sorry, my chair is so squeaky and I'm hyper-vigilantly aware.
You can't hear it. It's actually a condenser microphone, so you won't hear it at all.
Thank you. Thank God.
So, like, as an example, here's my mic. Should hear that almost not at all.
No, as clear as day, really.
No. All right. Okay. But I promise you it's fine. We can't hear you squeak.
Can't hear it. Can't hear it at all.
Oh, thanks to Dave Frazier for donating £5.69 to the show. Massive.
Yeah.
Love. One of the other, Dave, really appreciate you and your hot takes yesterday. Twitter was hot fire. Loved it. And you were in there. One of my favorite OG Twitter dudes. Val, question the chat is asking, and I think it's a serious one. Nopen this weekend. Obviously excited about it. It's going to be full of townies, though. Big question. Big drama.
We got some Silicon Valley townies. We got some, I guess those would be the biggest townies over on Tabletop Tittens.
Tabletop Tittens.
Yeah, man.
That's, oh, look, it's the Tittens.
Right? It's the Tittens.
Oh, look, is this them Tittens?
I saw a meme about this. Is that Bernie Sanders? He's sitting in the cold with his Tittens, right?
Well, he's got his Tittens on.
Yeah, it was a nice missus of his knitted those tittens for old Bernie.
Afternoon to Tank, by the way. Massive love to you for being here. Thank you so much. Lou Diamond, Reaper, everyone for joining us live. Thanks very much.
Bravo. We are blowing up right now. Just on Twitch itself, we are 115. What happened? Are you paying for these people to be here? What is happening?
No, so I did a thing where I actually advertised the show. I mentioned today that we would be on air. And people tuned in, which I deeply appreciate a lot. Also, we're also trying to hit partner status, Val. So we need over like 100 people every day. And so, like, everyone, I said to people, could you tune in every day? That'd be super sweet. And people have been like, yeah. I mean, we did pretty well last night. We were like nearly 250, 300 people for the AOS FAQ.
No way. Yeah, amazing, man. Dude.
Like, thanks, dude.
Like, it's super cool because, like, we don't know that you actually want us to watch this. Like, I'm just here to
I rarely make an effort to make it seem like I give a fuck if you watch. I appreciate that, Lewis. Yeah, like, take it or leave it, if I'm honest.
Sure, watch it. Don't watch it. I don't give a shit. What if I... Jeez, I don't care.
But we had, like, 500 people for the reveal show on
Incredible!
Saturday. So, yeah, that's nice. I don't like to go on about it, though, because, honestly, just even when there's just, like, 40 dudes and we're just having a laugh, it's good enough for me.
Yeah, no, it's not as good as when there's 150.
Oh, Adias Knight, thanks for subscribing.
But those 40 people, you can tell the later people that you were here when it wasn't cool.
Yeah. Lord, which is big love.
Which is also now.
Also, there's some real deep cuts. Like, we had like a load of people watching last night for the Monday show, and I was like, look, this isn't really going to affect anyone other than the Nazis and the ice giants who live in Antarctica. And like, I could tell a whole bunch of people in the chat who were like, what the fuck? And other people in the chat were like, yeah, that makes loads of sense to us.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, loads. Yeah. Ice wall. Yes. Yes.
Lord Wynn, thanks for subscribing. He's like, I've been here for 3 years. Honestly, I love the community. They're brilliant.
I've been here for 3 years. Help me.
I've learned nothing. I've learned not a thing.
On that point, like, yeah. The Nopen to me, like, we're either going to have 100 or I feel like 10,000. Like, I don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen. I feel like there's, like, a little bit of a buzz happening, which would be neat. Mm-hmm. But we'll see, man. I'm as excited about seeing what happens when we press go as anyone. It's also fun because I've been noticing, like, I don't think that we've communicated very well to the stream partners that we're also streaming. But that's okay with me because I feel like everyone's sort of getting their audience into the idea of watching their channel, and then maybe I can get everyone to like stream us when they're not on, so that way we just, I don't know, something like that. See, this is a work in progress. It's always a work in progress.
I feel like that maybe should have been mapped out, but that's not a drama at all.
It's fine.
Days to go.
Pete has like mortgaged his house. He's living out of his truck so that he can give away stuff to our audience. I hope you all know this for the record. This man has spent his Patreon blood money on prizes because normally he would have blown it on travel. So he's instead used it to buy a bunch of stuff to just give away to people watching our stream. Just give it away. Mm-hmm. So we got that over top of the other regular streamers. They don't have what it takes.
You're talking about me? Is this like a really side-eyed dig? This is harsh. This is unnecessary. I'm actually giving away a model. Well, actually, I'm giving a model to any, like, there's like a competition. So anyone who's a subscriber on Twitch, I'm going to give away like a 3D printed model. And the models are fucking great. Like monetary value to me is like not super high, but like if you were to buy it off someone, I think it would cost you quite a bit of money.
I have to ask, like, the filament furnace, it's just burning 24/7 these days, eh? Like, you're just down in the mines. Mm-hmm. You're just digging that coal.
That's why I'm wearing my work overalls.
Those dickies, you got to get some grease on them, man. Those dickies are... Those look like JVP's dickies. Maybe, like, at least he's got some barf on them, at least. Those look fresh. Have those even seen sunlight, man?
They've seen snow. I tell you, these are what I would wear when I was protesting outside Games Workshop, I'll have you know. This is important equipment necessary.
For the record, to me, you are perfect caption that I personally put on there, which you didn't retweet from what I saw. And
well, I didn't want people to think that I was like saying that about myself.
No, did you get the reference?
I did.
All right, because I was very proud of it. It's Love Actually, everybody. Love Actually. And the irony is that he's saying that about Games Workshop. Do you see how many levels that works on? I mean, it was brilliant. It was brilliant. It was 4D memeing. It took me a good 45 minutes to write that somehow on the meme.
See, that happened to me. So, you know when Bernie had the manila envelope? Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he's got the manila envelope and it's walking down. And I was like, and I downloaded the picture. I was like, right, what app do I need to write AOS FAQ on that? And like 30 minutes later, I was like, nah. If I can't do it on Photoshop, like, I'm not doing it. And then, like, someone else do it. I think Hawkeye did it. And I was like, brilliant. This is perfect. It's exactly what I wanted. Thank you for being there. That was good.
I feel like if I put 30 minutes into a simple task that should have taken 30 seconds, at that point, could take me 3 hours. Like, I'm not stopping. I don't care what happens. If I have to learn Chinese to, like, finish that, but I'm gonna do it because I like 30 minutes, that's a lot of sunk cost, man. You got to keep after that rabbit, that little cottontail, just out of your reach, turns into a dragon. You're chasing that thing up and down through the mountains of Moria.
So I got a couple of questions to ask you, actually, in kind of general, but I would like to do a shout out. I don't know if you accessed it this weekend, but seeing as Diffy's in the chat from the Art of War 40k Down Under, I don't know if you saw the live stream which Adam Camilleri put out this weekend. Well, Adam and Diff put out this weekend. Did you see that?
It was. I thought it was pretty cool because they brought in some live stats or some live scoring. There's a great new scoring bug they have, and I saw a few chunks of coverage while they went insane with coverage. And it was like over 4 days.
It was wild.
Adam was supposed to be at a tech rehearsal for the Nopen, and like which I'd confirmed with everyone. Further, I'm gonna throw my whole team under the bus right the second before you talk about how great they are. I was like,
I'm not gonna hear a bad words. I'm gonna go on about Adam Camilleri for a lot of this show in a moment. So you carry on.
So
I'm not gonna hear a bad word about him.
For 2 weeks, old Val's like, guys, we got a show in 3 weeks, just so I don't screw everything up. In 2 weeks, let's have a tech rehearsal. We're gonna get everything to get everyone together. We're just gonna do some level checks, all that kind of stuff. Only person who showed up literally was Paul Murphy on Ambien, which is not the kind of Paul Murphy you want to hang out with. He's a grumpy Paul Murphy. And
there's no such thing as a grumpy Paul Murphy.
You'd think so. But then sometimes he kind of forgot that it was happening. And he was getting ready to go to bed. He's like, shit, no, dang it, dang gummit, I got to be on a show. So he got on a show. However, Adam Camilleri somehow is streaming for his 72nd hour in a row.
Right.
So now you can go away.
All right. Listen to what I'm about to say about Adam Camilleri. He's too good. I'm just going to say it right now. No, I mean this with all seriousness.
Yes.
He's too good.
I know.
I was watching him and I was like, stop. Stop everything you're doing. This is too good. The community, he's like, hey, I'm an esports caster after live coverage of like 40k or Age of Sigmar or anything like that. T-Sports coverage. I'm just calling him a T-Sports caster. Fuck it. I'm using my brand. Like, that's what he is. Yeah. He's a T-Sports caster and he's already too good. He's where it needs to be in 15 years. The audience isn't even out ready for how good he is.
I was
watching and I was like, brilliant. He needs a co-host, like 100%. Yeah. But like, he's already, like, the audience isn't ready for how good he is. Like, it's
come
gorgeous.
Come on, and come watch him with Paul Murphy. You want a co-host for him? You put old good old ball out, dang old Paul Murphy next to him.
Slow him down. Like, you need that. You need like. I'm not saying like the
slow down Adam.
Huh?
Slow down Adam.
Well, no, you need the audience. Like, you need the audience guy. Yeah, like, he's Adam's like flawless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like,
no.
I can't advocate.
Put a cool
enough
Georgia breeze next to him, and I don't know. I think we got one of the best call pairs that exist. In fact, I think it is. I don't think anyone does that particular job as well as Adam Camilleri. I joke that Peter the Falcon will watch any stream. Like, if like someone like left their cell phone on in their pocket, and it's somehow broadcasting to Facebook, Pete will be watching that stream.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
Adam Camilleri will be calling it. Like, he will be in his car describing what's happening from that person's pocket. So these people are like bleeding edge of 40k entertainment, and Adam Camilleri, everybody.
Yeah,
that's Diffy's new scoring bug. Pretty cool.
Yeah, like, I spoke to Diffy and Adam. Like, having the caster in the window is, in my opinion, stupid. Just saying it. Told him. I've already told him in a message. So I'll tell him in person. Like,
you don't like having the caster on the screen.
Hate
that's
it.
That's a style choice I make too.
Yeah, hate it. Litany of reasons as to why not. Like every professional sports coverage ever. Let's start there and then work back to where you've got some sort of say in it. Let's go there. Let's go. Everything ever done, and then you would like to change it because.
Because it gives people something to look at and talk to. If you've noticed, so this is something I've noticed, and I don't know if you've noticed this, because I just assumed everyone streaming 40K had not evolved whatsoever. But then these tabletop titans happened, mm-hmm. and they invented something that I call the long edge medium shot, which is where the camera's on the long edge, looks over the table at two guys presenting at the far end of it. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a permanent tabletop tactics view, but no one was using this until I'm going to credit Tabletop Titans with it. It's great for two people presenting a show because it allows them to look to the camera and you're hanging out with two guys as they're playing 40K. You can't really see the 40K. You're hanging out with the two guys really is what it is. And it's terrible for commentating. So I've had to like gently talk to every streamer like, hey, could you maybe not be in that shot all the time like you are now? Like maybe we just mix in 80% of the time being overhead so that we can talk about it. So that is all to say that I think the reason why they've used that is because it generates engagement with the viewer. So like Twitch,
it's different. They're not casting a sport. Like
No.
They're doing an entertainment show.
So I think, yes, obviously. But however, look, listen. Live streaming to me is a very personal medium. It is like it is something you can reach through the camera and talk and interact with the people. And I think that's why, like, if you look at video game streamers, a lot of times they're just streaming their dumb blank expression on their face as they drool their way through another round of Fortnite. So, like, I think it is a convention of this particular medium, which, yes, does not apply to... whatever the other example is, regular sports, but seems to be effective in this world.
Apart from the different formats.
I am Val Heffelfinger.
Yeah. Hey, listen, let me just hit you with, like every professional sport doesn't do it. We'll start there, and you can work back. Like, listen, if you want to have a low-cut top and do paint tutorials on your face, works really well. Like, I get where you're at. Yeah. So,
I'm glad we have differences of opinion on some things because we agree way too much in general about how to cast 40K. And I don't want people to think that we're copycatting each other. So, this is good. I like that there's a bit of a style choice here happening. Mm-hmm. That's great. But if I ever snag you to do some calling of the games, your ugly mug's going to be right there.
I was about to say, that's nothing but a bonus for you guys. You're getting nothing but this face. Yeah, this is a money maker based on my experiences. This is not a bad looking face. Although if I shave, I look 14 and no one appreciates it. right. So yeah, go on.
Gittle says the Titans are absolutely the gold standard of game coverage. Streaming, it's so damn good, and they're always striving to improve. Live spread as far as like guys
about reports, yeah.
Live stream battle reports, they've made it work, and they've created, they also, another thing that they figured out, which I don't know, it to me it seems so obvious now, but they just started streaming to YouTube, and so they were like, I'm not going to Twitch, and like that makes so much sense for 40K because that's where everyone is. Everyone watches their bat reps and you know, whatever other stuff for the most part on YouTube. I feel like there's a much bigger Warhammer group of people who will be like, oh, I've watched a lore video on YouTube, and if there's a live Warhammer broadcast, they might click on it. So I think that was really brilliant, and now everyone's copying them. It's amazing how fast there's like a broadcaster meta, and like if something's working, everyone goes and does it. So now you see a lot more people on YouTube.
Yeah, okay, good. I don't have anything to add to that at all. I just think Adam Camilleri is brilliant. And then everything else I'll move to my own devices. So what else was I going to ask you? So that's the big one. The other one, and I think this is an important question, is so this is an Age of Sigmar question. Sorry about this. But I know it's still relevant to a lot of the guys in the chat, so I am going to ask it.
When has relevance ever been something we strive for? Please, continue.
Agreed. So one of the things that obviously, like, so the 40K I wanted to talk to you about like the 40K FAQ versus the Age of Sigmar FAQ. Obviously,
really
the 40K
something
FAQ...
happened. Something happened with this AOW or AOS FAQ situation. There was something that happened.
Well, we didn't get one. We did, but it was a non-starter. Like no point changes at all. And then like a nothing burger in actual points changes. But the reason cited obviously was like a lack of information in data, which is kind of ironic because currently my green screen picture file, if you look, is actually the MetaWatch article with all of the data that they put out themselves. So so there's a really deep-seated irony which I enjoy there. But my question to you is you obviously don't know much about the Age of Sigmar community. Like, I get it. But you are very, invested in the 40K community. Why do you think, is my question to you, why do you think the 40... Because I think the 40K FAQs, which over the past 3.5 years or 3 years of me doing independent coverage of everything, have ranged from, truly, 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 truly terrible to progressively better, to like passable now. Like, passable. Like, you would be like, okay, like, you've done a job. Good job is strong. Job is good. Yeah? Like, so, like, how do you, like, what do you, how do you think that, why do you think that there's, like, such a non-correlation between the two systems? It's kind of the question I wanted to ask you. Or, more importantly, what do you think the 40K community is doing right to get the answers that they need?
So, to boil it all down, why does mom and dad hate us?
Yeah, I don't, let's give that.
I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on over there. Like, I don't know. Like, I honestly, even we were talking about this. Like, Pete's got a theory. He's espoused it on here. Because even with 40K, like, the FAQs have been coming out at wider intervals and also perhaps not as aggressive as one might think. And his thought has been that has been due to the fact that they've had to dribble books out, which legitimately is due to, pandemic-related issues with distribution. So maybe they're slow rolling stuff because they know the meta would have been very different had the three books that were supposed to be released that month actually been released. So that's something. But as far as why, AOS is being, not fed, I mean, if that's the case, then that's likely a resource issue. And that sucks. Sucks that a company with as many wonderful, like I've said this a number of times on the show, like if you look at like something like Underworlds, right? Like there, you could have an entire company making a wonderful living and challenge a lot of good games out there in the sort of card game store space with Underworlds and make a really tidy living. If you give that to like one hungry sales exec in the United States, like that game would be very popular. It's mechanically strong. It's awesome. It's got tons of content. It's supported, but it's an afterthought, right? So like, unfortunately, I think that they don't have enough horses to necessarily give all the love that they need to. Like we saw this with the app, because they were doing the app in-house when they needed to go into crunch time and put something together for 40K. AOS was no longer being updated. And so I suspect that you have a similar resource issue going on in the studio. Perhaps they're all writing hilarious new Warhammer Fantasy battles.
Maybe they are.
Literally, they are. That could be what's happening. It's like if someone needs to get a cup of tea, that Titan game doesn't get updated for a week. I don't know. It feels like they're always sort of resource hungry and wildly ambitious with their output. So my thing has always been they need more people. They need more talent because they've got so much goodness. They just need to keep throwing the coal in the content furnace, right?
Well,
they
so
need more
actually,
people shoveling.
Yeah. So actually, I mean, there's a bunch of questions that and I'm not asking you to advocate or defend. The vehicle of me asking questions, right, is really, I know the answers to some of them, it's mainly to propagate the conversation. So, the one thing that we are aware of is that the company have made a shit ton of money. A shit ton of money. And now, yep. and Val's point...
Pandemic.
During the pandemic. So, they're not, the idea that they're resource starved is a mute one. because they
That was human resource start.
Yeah, again, a mute one, because you can use the money to hire people, therefore it's a moot point. If you are resource-starved in human resources, it's because you haven't spent the money, and that's your fault as a company. And that's kind of the next point I wanted to really discuss. So because they make so much money, and because they haven't expanded these teams to develop them, which I think is fascinating as a decision point, one of the things that is also going to be really true, so when you've got like big YouTubers like Tabletop Titans, but also most importantly, like people like Magikarp guy, then these other people that are coming in from other game systems, these are actually one of the lovely things about our community so far is that like most of the movers and shakers, let's say, of like Warhammer, with the exception of who haven't had like on the show. I haven't had like the FOG guys actually on the show. Met them in person, been on their show. Do you know what I mean? But I haven't had them on the show, let's say. But like, you know, like you can pretty much talk to them here one-on-one. We can message each other. Like it's a fairly small like community ultimately. But that's not true now, and it's going to be even less true in 4 or 5 years because the 100%. Game is exploding, right? We've got people coming in.
We're on the inside. Rob, don't worry, we're fine. a rising sea will lift our boats, so it's good. We're good.
No, my
we just slam the door on everybody else.
Perfect. That's what we do.
These plebes in chat.
I love you all in chat. All of you, I love you. My point is, I feel like because there was some kickback on Twitter, and there always has been, and there's always been trolls in forums and everything else. I feel like community management is the thing that they struggle with most, and they've struggled with a lot. Ultimately, now we're in this very interesting position where big boys are moving into the territory. Big boys are moving in, and people from outside the hobby who haven't experienced what I like to call the Games Workshop QA, which is shit, are going to come in and go, "This is crap. Let's go find the guys responsible for this and tell them it's crap." And they're like, "Oh no, we can't do that." It's like, "Oh no, like that's what they do in other fandoms. It's what they do in other mediums. They're like, this sucks, lads." And they communicate that.
And like, that is how they were driven off the internet the first time. Mm-hmm. So like these guys left the internet in 2010. It wasn't like we're not gonna interact with our customer base like out of the gates. You can write us a letter if you want to hear from us. Like Games Workshop had a YouTube channel, which is still up. I imagine the person who created it left the company and didn't give anyone the passwords. You can go back and watch like an amazing hype video for the Stompa. Mm-hmm. Like there's these really great relic videos.
It really
of them,
got like, you, didn't it? Like that's your first port of call. That got you then. And
the
it's Stompa. Still...
but so this is from back in, and then of course there is just like they're like, "Oh lads, they're commenting about our game. What do you think they think?" And like just a torrent of diarrhea hit them, and they were like, "Oh." And they slammed the door, and they went to their ivory castle, and that's where they lived for a while. And the company suffered from a shareholder perspective and from a quality of the game perspective. Like, it was the worst it ever been. I don't know if those two things were related, but 40K went from, you know, 5th edition to its long, dark winter of 6th and 7th.
6.5? Do you remember 6.5?
No, this is a time... I'm telling a story I didn't experience because I was wandering the woods myself. But I come back in 2015, I discover that the old world had just been exploded. Like, they went insane. Like, they just went, like, literally let their fingernails grow super long, their hair out, and they were full on, like,
I love
nuts.
This analogy, yes.
And, like, they were just cranky old kooks in the log cabin at the top of the mountain. And then eventually, they were somehow coaxed out of it, and we don't need to get into all that. Some guy named Rob was involved adjacently. Nonetheless... Mm-hmm. They started interacting and boom, explosion. Like their company has done so good. One thing I've said a lot, and I'm not as harshly perhaps, but something I fear is that they don't necessarily know why they're good. They don't understand why all of a sudden, well, everyone loves us again. And if you don't know why you're good, then you can very easily kill the baby. And we don't want to kill this baby. We love this baby. So mm-hmm. I would like them to continue leaning into the things that exploded their success. And unfortunately, they are areas that have not really evolved since they took that one step towards competence. And that includes, quality assurance, QA, making sure that the game stays healthy and updated and all that kind of stuff over time. They started doing FAQs.
It's literally 60 grand. I've worked it out. It's 60 grand in English money to fix the problem, right? It's right. One community manager, yep. 30 grand. Obviously, yep. Games Workshop pay 20 grand because they pay way below industry standard because they're awful.
Yeah.
And then another 30 grand, another 30 grand. Again, it'll be 20 grand and it'll be like some 18-year-olds fresh out of uni to do QA. Yeah, right?
Or hell, like
just those two jobs, we're done.
And the community does it for free. The community doesn't even, they don't even have to spend 60 grand.
The guy only has to create it. Yeah.
You know, like it's a person who has to just pick it up. And ultimately that is what the playtesting group was. And I think ultimately you have a pretty old company run by old boys, and that's mm-hmm. fine. But it's not fine when, they are providing product doing wonderful, like wildly well, and they don't do basic stuff. And I agree, it's a bit dangerous. It's unfortunate because their audience gets bigger every single day because what they sell ultimately is really good. And it sucks when they don't do really simple things that would make it that much better. Okay. And so I think it is good to be here to hold them to account because, as I've said otherwise, they are also a publicly traded company, right? So like they should be, for all intents and purposes, doing what they can to make as much money as they can. And I laugh at anyone who says that Games Workshop is super greedy, because if they were, they could make so much more money by doing the next like micro step forward in managing the community, engaging with people and promoting their stuff and all that kind of thing. So
yeah, if anyone's like not sure what Val means, and he explained it to me before, Val says things like money's really cheap right now. This is some sort of whole other business stuff that I can't really fuck with. So if you guys get it.
If you had money in your savings account right now, mm-hmm. and you put it in, which mm-hmm. Theoretically speaking, and you put it in there, you would be getting paid somewhere between zero and negative money to leave it there. In some places in Europe, you literally get negative interest rates. I don't think that's the case in Britain, but your real rate of return would be negative. So that means that on the borrowing side, the bank is not lending money out at enough of a rate to pay its depositors. So when I say money is cheap, it means that borrowing money, you get it at a really, really low interest rate, especially someone who has no debt, which is what Games Workshop is as a company. They could literally go out and buy whatever the hell they want. And they have so much cash on hand that they could also just reinvest their revenues and profits into their business so that they could expand these things or outsource stuff that they can't do themselves very well, all that stuff.
Or do what I do, buy small nuggets of gold and just bury it in various locations around Nottingham. Ron Swanson it. That's what I do.
You probably will accidentally run into their CFO, like through the fog, be like, what? And you'll just see him also burying nuggets of gold, because that is probably what they're doing with the buckets of money that they have, and they're just confused and they're panicking and they're like, just bury it. They distribute all of their money to shareholders. So they give it out as a dividend. But they're very proud of having no debt, which is not something to be proud of, and they are.
I'm proud of that.
I mean, again, like I'm not saying that they should borrow money to pay their operating costs, but they don't have to. I'm saying that they could reinvest a lot into their business and be that much. I think they're literally. I believe that they're sitting on essentially Star Wars. Like that is a very valuable thing, right? So. As good as they're doing, if I was sitting on Star Wars, I would expect to be doing even better, right? And so I think maybe they'll catch. They've suggested that they're catching on to this idea with like the fact that they're at some point supposed to be releasing some television content and the show that they were producing that was like the series of vignettes and all that kind of stuff.
I'm really excited about those because, honestly, their first foray in kind of into the public environment, other than obviously what they do already, I mean, if it's as good as the app, we're going to have a great time either side of the fence. Can I pivot?
Primark just made a joking comment. Now's the time to load up on credit cards and buy all the armies you wanted. Not quite the same thing. That's still going to cost you 20%. So let's just don't do that one. But if you want to buy a house or like have or borrow against a house, it's probably a good time. Go ahead.
Okay, good advice. Thanks. Appreciate that, Val. Appreciate you. Honestly, stuff I don't know. So, and everyone in the chat who does get it, love you tons. So yeah, a couple of pivots I want to get to. Number one, the apps are getting updated, so your armies are going to get deleted. Great news. Dark Angel's book out soon. Also great news. I'm going to sidestep those. I wanted to ask you a question because I've got very few people to actually ask this question of, and I think you're a real futures guy. That's one of the few economic things that I'm very aware
me?
Of.
Me?
Yeah, I think you're a futures guy.
Like,
yeah. Well, let me talk to you about an economy which I think is interesting, or more importantly, an emerging market which I think is interesting, which the guys in the chat will have heard me talking about before, which is, of course, 3D printing. I just wanted to have this conversation. So I've signed up to two Patreons, because the value on quickly talk about the economy of buying STL files, which is what you need for 3D printing. There is basically two sources. There's like a third party site like My Mini Factory, which seems really great and I've used. Yeah. Herministy, we're going to do a proper show on this, but I more wanted to talk to Val about the kind of like prospectiveness of it, which I think is interesting. Yeah. 3D printing is tight butthole. I agree. So you would go to like a 3D print file shop like My Mini Factory and you'd buy the files, right? Okay. And they're like $15 for one, let's say, or $10 for one, let's say, right? Make it easy, right? But then if you sign up to the Patreon, you get, so for $8 or $9, the one I'm signed up for, which is Titanforge, is $8, I get a pack of designs, so let's call it 10 designs. 10 designs for $8.
Sure. Yeah,
per month.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So per month, I get 8 designs. And they're like, they can range and they could be modular. So let's say I've got some Arabian guys and they've got modular weapons. So if I want them to be spear guys, they are. If I want them to be bowmen, they are. If I want them to be swordmen, they are. So they're like modular. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Now, the economy on that is those guys make something like $750,000 a year. Obviously, there's like operating costs and other stuff, but that's the kind of like rough money I've seen from their Patreon so far. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like they've got 8,000 subscribers at $8. It's about $750,000 a year, roughly. So then there are a whole bunch of other companies like that. Whole bunch of other companies. But their Patreons are only like a year old, maybe max, like not more than two. Like it's brand new, is what I'm trying to get at. And sometimes even less
than that. It's also a fucking pain in the ass.
Like the it's new is my point.
Yes.
It's very, very new.
Oh, yeah.
Which is why it's an exciting thing to ask you about. So I ran kind of like some rough numbers on roughly how much money I think roughly is going into kind of these Patreons, and it came out to something like $7 to $8 million a year. Roughly.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing.
But the interesting point about that, is the direct correlation between consumer and and creators, but I think more importantly is consumer and the economy of 3D design, I think, is the important point. Whereas our previous economy, we won't ignore Games Workshop. There are obviously other people other than Games Workshop, like Creature Caster and other people, would be a company, would be the producers, which we now have the ability to be ourselves, right? They have producers, and then so like, let's say Games Workshop put $1 million a year, which would be over the top. Let's say they have 10 designers, which I'm not sure they even have that, but let's say they have 10. And let's say they pay them $30,000 a year, which I'd be surprised by, but sure, right? That's $300,000. And then let's say for some reason we're just going to add $700,000 into the pot just to be fun. Yeah. I think we're just going to over egg it. They say put $700,000 a year into R&D for miniatures. That takes us to $1 million straight. It means that the independent ecosystem is already 7 times higher already with 3D printing generally being seen as like a difficult thing, and it's not, it's like super easy.
Sure.
And my question really is, and I know that's a lot of information for you to like talk through, but my real question is how do you feel about that? And also like because for me I'm like, it's like it feels transitionally important as a conversation. I thought you would be very... Not how does it affect Games Workshop, because honestly, I think that's too difficult to say. I'm more, how does it, like, think it's going to affect miniatures and everything else, like, that I know that you're invested in. What, you got any thoughts?
Yeah, well, so first of all, someone asked me in the chat, named Bordigan, asked me if I bought my shares back. Answer, yes. Probably at their all-time record high price. Great, good job, me. but I did that... I did it because I was following them and ultimately got back to my original thesis about Games Workshop, which is they're sitting on Star Wars. So if they do get it right, there may be something more that they could do. Also, it makes me feel more righteous when I criticize them as a shareholder. not just as a cup, so I'm both a sucker and a sucker on like both ends of the coin. It's fantastic. So don't take and don't please don't construe anything I'm saying here as you know, buying or selling. Time that thing poorly. Do not follow me for advice, but for random speculation and nonsense,
which is what I love, which is why I asked
your
you.
Guy. Yeah. So on the like the 3D printing stuff, I find it super fascinating as all. I mean, like one thing we can say about the internet is that it has blown up every single business model that existed, and that's why the internet, like you said, removes links from the chain of product and person who wants to buy said product. Those little links in the chain are things like, I don't know, Blockbuster Video. They're things like brokers, investment advisors. You can just go on a website and buy a stock if you want now. Mm-hmm. All these sort of business models, they're things like actual books. That's gone. You don't need those anymore. Games Workshop has been wildly, like, largely insulated from that, as have other manufacturers of, like, sort of niche products and, you know, physical, tangible items and goods, right? So I think 3D printing, it's an interesting thing to me because I don't know if what it's doing is distributing. I don't know if it disrupts the retail chain so much as the actual manufacturing chain, because I do wonder about how much everyone's going to want a 3D printer, like a 3D printer in everyone's garage. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe it gets easy enough. Maybe you get to the iPod of 3D printers at some point where you just walk in the room.
FYI, I feel that
you're pretty close. I know. You know, the resin printers, the quality and the output and the difficulty, sure.
Difficulty more, very low.
Very low. But it's also a wildly toxic, stinky thing. I mean, don't get it on your skin straight up. It's a neurotoxin. Don't do it. Like, it's dangerous. And it's a hobby into its own right, right?
Yeah.
So for you, for enthusiasts, for probably a much bigger segment of people than are even doing it right now, yes, that is an achievable thing. But you got to be computer literate. You got to know where to find STL. There's all kinds of things that get in the way from a normal dork having a 3D printer. You can't walk into the room and be like Earl Grey tea hot and have an AOS miniature sitting in front of you. That being said, I think it might do something to screw up with manufacturing. So for most manufactured goods, you have... like the cheapness of just being able to slam out with you know, like a plastic injection molding or whatever they do to make a screw, that scale is just going to be way higher than printing each screw individually. When you have a niche thing like us, or like I'm sure some other trinket business, where you maybe don't need to run a trillion of them, you need to run a couple thousand of them. You can have that manufacturing distributed all over the place. So maybe your local game store is also your local game maker. Maybe that's how it works, right? In the sense that they don't have a central factory, but all their stores have printers. You go down and you pick up your freshly printed stuff, and they distribute the manufacturing. So the retail stays, but the manufacturing gets distributed. I don't know. That's where I think it can go. And also, it will eat away at people that, you know, are willing to invest in the time to get the prints, and also in the people who are willing to make a business out of it. That's the bigger thing. I think it's not necessarily individuals doing this. It's people who will make a business out of printing models, either based on their own IP or others, and, you know, be able to sell those for cheaper as scale gets better. So all of those things sort of attack Games Workshop from different angles. It'll be interesting to see how it pans out, because ultimately they've survived piracy by essentially ignoring that it exists, and this is a different threat, and I don't know.
Again, I wasn't. See, the interesting bit for me was what I'm not doing is using it as like a "this will kill Games Workshop" statement. That's not the intent at all. What it is, I think, is interesting is the economy of it. Because there's very few people I get to have this conversation with, like, and you're one of you'll be probably the top of the list of people to ring about it, is that the money going into that industry, we talk about it as compared to Games Workshop, but we'll just take that away out of the conversation. The money going into it is outrageous. Like, there is
for
there's a group of people whose entire job it is. So these Patreon guys, what they do is they give a portion of their money to this company, and what the company do is they support the file. So if you never print something in resin, basically it has to be supported with some like little like sticks, basically, so that it prints right. But then they do it professionally. So me, as an idiot, all I do is download the pre-supported file. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I like you're like it's not plug and play. It's literally plug and play. I put it into the file. I say, I want to print this thing. I put it into the machine and it does the job. There is a couple of little caretaking things, but in the same way that you don't hoover up like coins, you know, like real simple shit, like that's pretty simple.
Yeah.
The toxicity thing is right. But the thing that like ignoring even the production, the thing that fascinates me is in a year's time, because I feel like maybe it's just because I'm new to it. This is the thing that interests me. So I was going to ask you about the designs from the weekend, because they look great, right? All of the new stuff coming out from Games Workshop. That Hunter looks glorious. I'm just like, fuck yeah. The Vampire Hunter looks great. It's just a Powell. I'm not too sure about that. I don't know what you think.
I wasn't sure it was real because I forgot the preview happened. Then I just saw a picture of that. I was like, is this real? Is that a real thing? Anyway, let's continue. Because they never get criticized for their baby carrier designs. I don't know. It's an Imperium aesthetic that they are really committed to. Going ahead.
Yeah, my only point was next week will be February, yeah? And while it's exciting that there might be some new sculpts for Age of Sigmar 40K, but there might be one or two or an army, who knows? There'll be like hundreds.
1 million. Yeah.
Hundreds of Games Workshop equivalent level beautiful models.
Yeah.
And that is a fascinating world. Like, because this is. Go on.
So, what I will say here is, and again, you were trying not to make this Games Workshop eccentric, but to be fair, if we're talking about tabletop, if you're talking about like tabletop miniatures gaming, you can't have that conversation without talking about them, because they are the market, right? Like, they are the people who make
so you can't have
money,
the conversation
right?
without it. Yeah, 100%.
So here's something that's fascinating. Because they are the market, this is why. So think of a company right now that has a successful brick and mortar retail chain that can sell books consistently, that essentially like that joined the internet 4 years ago. If you told me that was the profile, if you told me your company revolves around a brick and mortar retail chain, paper books, and no internet presence, I would be like, this company's dead in the water. And that is essentially what everyone thought about Games Workshop up until about 3-4 years ago. So their business model is still 1990s, and it has survived because they are the market. So the places where the internet hasn't broken a particular business model, you can think of in Canada, banking has survived very well. There are still lots of branches all over the place because banking is essentially controlled by 6 different banks in Canada, right? So like, we haven't like been overwhelmed by the internet in that particular realm. Real estate agents, same thing in Canada. We have a very healthy real estate agent, profession. When people could, in theory, just sell their friggin' house on the internet, right? Like, so anyway. So the whether or not, and right now, like there are massive high quality. There are really good miniatures that you could buy for a lot cheaper from other manufacturers right now. You got a cottage industry in Poland of guys who make super high quality stuff and have been for years, and they used to get sued occasionally. So that stuff all happens. The question is, why would someone buy that? Also, are they even aware of that, right? So like, you might really know about the fact that you can get all these amazing miniatures, and hell, there might be 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000 or 100,000 people like you who know about these miniatures. But the people who know everything they know about miniatures games comes from Games Workshop. They don't know that it exists. They learn about stuff from their local store and they go to the Games Workshop website. That's all they know. And they paint their models and that's all they care about. So it'll take a long time before like that starts eating away at that.
Agreed. Although I think that cross-pollination is quicker than maybe you give it credit for, especially with the lockdown. And also, most importantly, when something happens like the Age of Sigmar FAQ, as has just happened, I think you end up in an interesting place. I just wanted to talk to you about it because I think I'm going to make its own separate video at some point. I'm going to wait a month. I'm going to produce a bunch of things. Me and Herminister are going to have a chat, and I think there's some core components of it. But the industry is at least interesting and fascinating, at least, especially as it relates to Games Workshop and the hobby as well. I mean, upgrade parts, like one of those like non Like, I mean, because look at the LVO last year, year before, whenever you were trying to get, was it Chaplin Dreads?
Like, yeah, that was last year. Yeah.
Last year. They were sold out. Everyone wanted them. You just fucking make them now.
You just make one in 2 seconds. Yeah. And shit, that year, there was a guy who ran three neon green filament printed custodies tanks at
Jesus.
A GT. And he won with them. And they were unpainted and they looked like a layer cake of garbage. Like, they were just terrible. And that, I think, is what people, when you say 3D printed, that's still essentially what people conceptualize.
I know, but that's what I thought. No,
So for me, like, the number one thing, like, I was a big cigarette smoker, and then vaping happened. And I mean, I was like right there with vaping. The guy invented it in China, and then we got these ridiculous vape pen cigarette things, and I own that because I was like, please God, give me a way out. I am a cigarette smoker, I'm an idiot, this vape thing might be better, I'm doing it, don't care, Z's. And I couldn't get anyone to join me on this quest, and also the early ones sucked. They like would leak and they ran out of batteries all the time, and you had to like know a guy. So I was like, yeah, fucking, I gave up on them. 3 years later, you had like, I'd say like the 3D printing version of like where 3D printing is now, you had that version of vaping. Those are the guys who have the big box mods. They got that tank on the top. There's a coil inside. But all those pieces were now mass produced. You know, that battery worked. It didn't explode most of the time. You know, the little coil thing that you put in, like, was you'd remove it, throw it out, and put it back in. It was disposable. But you still had to fill the tank. You like had shit you had to do. There were lots of juice manufacturers. You had all these sort of options. But it was still a hobby. Like, it was still like you'd go to a vape shop, right? You'd go to a specialty store to get your stuff. And then Juul happened. And the kids loved Juul because Juul is like a little stick. And then you take a little pot of your nicotine, you plug it in, and you're vaping. Baby, you can buy that at a gas station. You don't need someone to tell you how to make it work or do anything with it. It's just fun. That is literal plug and play. Mm. And that's where if 3D printing is going to topple Games Workshop, from a consumer angle, that's how easy 3D printing literally has to be. I don't have to do anything but plug it in. Mm-hmm. Where it is right now is going to, I think it's definitely going to erode. It's gonna have some cost, but it's not gonna like knock them out. I think the bigger threat to them is the fact that they can now have a cottage industry of brick and mortar game stores that struggle, who can be like, oh, you know what? I can make 99% markup on these bootleg models. I can push these and have like a fucking back room of printers going all the time. I think they get undercut by competing manufacturers is, I think, their bigger threat than like individual consumers buying a bunch of those. Like now like China Cast essentially is everywhere cast, you know, like straight up. Mm-hmm. So how does someone react to that? It is a legitimate existential threat to, I think, how they do business.
Okay. Interesting on your thoughts. I'm less interested in kind of like iteration to Games Workshop, but interesting chat all in. It's not,
so what are you most fascinated by? So
what I'm most fascinated by is this, the thing that most people profess to be interested in, but I'm not 100% certain that they are. I really like fantasy and sci-fi. Like it. I've read them as books. I've watched them as TV shows. I'm a fucking nerd. Yeah? And I have been forever. The thing that stopped me playing World of Warcraft, like, or stopped me playing Guild Wars, or, you know, stopped me, like, watching Babylon 5 for the fifth time ever, like, was that I could, like, create these things that I'd read since I was a child, these miniatures, and I could be creative with it as well, which was amazing. I could put them down in this, like, fantasy setting or this sci-fi setting, and I could do this battle, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
That, no matter what happened, no matter the top flight of competitive play, like, no matter what's happening with, like, these two guys and the chess maneuver of it, which is something I also deeply love, that is the core of the thing that I love about it, and I love that there is a story behind it, and there's all that other stuff. All that stuff, like, that's what makes it sing. So whatever that part of the hobby is, right, which I think is the core fundamental part of it, this escapism, this fantasy part, it's why, like, I can't fuck with D&D. I know people love D&D. I just can't fuck with it. I want the visualization, right? I want that. What I love about this 3D printing is the fucking designs. Like, the demons are wild. Like, I've got to wait, I don't even know how long, until I get new demons. Or tomorrow, I go on my mini factory and buy, like, fucking whatever demons strike my fancy. But the thing is, and this is what's really interesting, I'm not a good designer. I'm not a creative person necessarily. I can kickbash some stuff. But there are people who are wildly talented, and I go on and I'm just looking at art. But the thing is I can print the art, I can paint the art, and I can add that art into my story. And that's fucking brilliant. Cool. Like, my Bellicor, let's say, can be like, my Bellicor doesn't have to be a piece of crap Bellicor. My Bellicor could be this fuck off demon with this wicked sword. Like, it's awesome. Like, my Marines don't have to be these, like, clean cut Primaris. I could buy so many upgrade kits so they're, like, fucking gone and, like, destroyed and, like, and that's what gets me.
You go one step further. If you have the ability or the inclination, much like we are all interested in painting to some degree, and some people are able to paint to an nth degree, well, now if you enjoyed green sculpting a fur pelt on the back of your dude, you have the tool to be able to make the whole dude. You can make the tank he rides in. You can do whatever your imagination wants you to do because you have the ability to make it rise from a goopy vat of resin, which is so cool. I don't know if everyone in the chat, if you haven't actually seen a resin printer in action, it is literally like a creature rising from the primordial ooze. It is just a phenomenal, neat little piece of tech that blew my mind the first time I saw it. But anyway, yeah, it changes a tremendous amount of things. And the thing about 3D printing is, I think, very specific to what we like to do. 3D printing is super applicable because we don't need a ton of them. We need a handful of these little pieces. And they're all very tiny, all very bespoke. And you can now literally have, like, there. I saw, like, a Deathcore Krieg guy who's a big fan of it. He wanted to lean into the French aesthetic of the Deathcore of Krieg. So he's got all these tanks with these beautiful, like, round lines on them. It's hard to describe, like, what the shape is. It's like the front of, like, a floating plane. I don't know. Like, and so all of his tanks just have this, like, very, it looks very 40K, but French World War One Deathcore. So it's like tanks that are Deathcore of Krieg centric that are still 40K, but they match the aesthetic of the Deathcore of Krieg.
Okay.
And he's printed a lot of these parts that he's bashed together with other GW stuff. But now he's got like an army that's not, he didn't just do because, he wanted to like save money on models or like save time. He did it because that was the vision for what was going on in his head and what would make sense and what would so his imagine was able to be manifest now on the table. And that's like one of the coolest things about 3D printing. Or if you have an idea, you are a fiver away from literally having that idea.
Or a good example would be
one of the current things
that I'm working on is getting the show hosts of The Honest Wargamer having all of their heads designed as 3D sculpts. So that you can, and I would love an infantry squad made of Val Heffelfingers. Yeah? Yeah? Like, there's no reason I don't want that.
The
I want
Huff and Heffelfingers.
Like, and anyway, so I just thought I'd speak to you about it, something I haven't actually yet asked you about. And so, yeah,
it's,
good question.
It's fun. And we grew our audience while talking all that nonsense. So that's promising. Gentlemen. Thank you, chat.
I haven't had this conversation on air a lot. I've been talking about it little pieces, but I haven't had like a full chat about it. And I think it's epoch making really as a conversation, and always good to talk to you about it. Right, we should head out for the day. Twitch chat and
really?
Val. We're hitting the time. We're hitting the time.
1:38.
The Heffel Fingers. Yeah, I'd watch that. That would be all good. I will stop, Nick. I promise.
If I could just address the 3D printed miniatures viewed at events thing very quickly. They're viewed poorly because normally they look like garbage. I think much like recast models, TOs will very rapidly be unable to tell the difference and it won't matter.
They can't.
Yeah. There's fundamentally no difference between a model that has been either, you know, press molded or injection molded and a resin printed model. You would not be able to tell the difference at this point with degree of fidelity. If you allow Cromlech models in your event, there's no reason why you wouldn't allow a resin printed model in your event.
Mm-hmm. Especially when they look as good and or better. Like,
yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? So yeah, and I think that's why we're going to see Games Workshop only sanctioned events, and then you'll see a very, and because that's the kind of conversation, right? You'll see Games Workshop only sanctioned events, then you'll see a large independent scene. When yeah. the idea that the independent scene is more creative and more engaging, which it will be because of a slavish desire to lick boots in one category and then freedom in the other. Like,
so I know you want to go, but this raises a very interesting thing. How do you, so as a business, so like Games Workshop isn't the only miniature maker on the block, frankly, but they are the biggest and most important. They're going to have their instinct will probably be to do exactly what you just said. I'm going to, yeah, my tournaments, you're not allowed to run anything not officially Games Workshop. Already the case. Like there used to be a rule where you could kitbash stuff and like up. They used to let that happen. No longer let that happen. Mm. And that, to me, is very short-sighted and is basically just holding your breath to try and, outlast it. And that's not going to work. So that strategy is what you have seen and will be continue to be their strategy until some very different thinking appears, because it's an existential threat and they need to take that seriously.
Yeah, that will be the case, but I don't, like, that's... you could be Metallica and you can sue LimeWire all the time, but that's not going to... That's going to get you nowhere quick.
Yeah. And this is what we said around the app, right? Which was, like, to me, like, if you give Napster and LimeWire, and for the kids at home, these are the original piracy websites and places where people could download music and stuff for free. This blew people's minds. Before that, you had to buy CDs. And now you could just download an album that you want. And businesses didn't realize that the reason why piracy was so popular was, yeah, it was free, it was cheap, but it was more that it was there. It was exactly what I want when I want it.
Accessible.
It was accessible. And that's what you have with this. And the record company's response was to try and sue those things out of existence. And Apple's response, which is now the largest music distributor on the planet, or at least was, was to say, no, I'm going to give you a platform that allows you to get what you want when you want it for a reasonable price. And their price was 99 cents. Used to cost you $25 to get a new album in Canada, a new record. And now I could buy each song for 99 cents. The record companies thought, oh my God, we're dead. Apple stole the market. They're a $1 trillion company. They're one of the biggest entities in the world. They make computers. And they
important
make computers.
To remember that they're a piece of shit company as well. But yeah,
piece continue. Of shit company. But they make computers and cell phones, and they are one of the largest things that exists economically on this planet, which is insane to me, like how that is bigger than, I don't know, 10 other industries or companies. But anyway, my point is like Games Workshop here, like they can be Metallica or they can be Apple. And if they're not careful, they'll be Metallica or Sony Music or whatever. And that is the story.
The important part, actually, kind of like to maybe like tie the conversation up, is in the example of and also a big shout out to Pete in the chat, the example of music didn't go away, right?
Yeah,
music
changed,
music adapted, it got shorter because it got streamed. That's quite fun. There's a lot, right? Music never went away, and because most importantly, music is a thing that human beings love. Human beings also like miniatures and they like playing the game. This is the important point. Like, more options for the consumers is always brilliant. Like, and actually, I think that this is the kind of like saving grace ultimately in the future. Always big shout out to Wahapedia, Rue, and also Battlescribe. Yeah, like, you're talking like, I don't see it being a problem to Games Workshop because whatever. But I think it's so good for the customer. Like, we as a community are so well served by this being something new. We so are, which is great. That's the kind of positive I want to keep pushing, that I'm not in any way trying to push this thing because it hurts this group. Instead,
I'm
pushing this thing because it frees this other group, which is us. This is the, you know, an early adopter of Spotify being like, I pay £5 a month, I have all the music. You know, and yeah, I know Spotify are terrible for musicians as well, I get it. But like, for the consumer, it's £5. Also, I don't really give a shit that musicians don't get to like go on coke fueled binges to like islands with women. I mean, they still do, but like they could buy a house for making live music. That's fine. That's pretty good. It changed.
So like these changes change. It's not that it changes. It changes who can make money. But also, Rob, I'd really point out that you might be more of a purist. You like the medium. You like the genre and all those sort of things. But I think for Games Workshop and for a lot of things, they like a particular thing. They like a brand, and that's what they like, right? This will undermine that, but it's different. I think, like, I love music. I don't I don't make it, you know? Like, I think that's kind of the thing. Like, I consume it. And
I dance to it, even.
I sometimes move a little bit. Like, only my shoulders, though.
That's
only
good.
My
that's
shoulders.
A good enough dance. Creepily. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do.
Tom York is my dance idol. But yeah, no, it's fascinating. I could chit chat about this all day. But I don't know. Hopefully we said something interesting in all of that.
Yeah, chat. Let us know if you thought the conversation was interesting. I know it's I feel like it is now part of the zeitgeist of conversation that has to continuously be a thing. You know,
it can't be worse than when we talk about how to stream 40K games correctly. What you were saying what you were saying there about it's not about the, you know, hating Games Workshop and liking this. And I think that's very fair, because that's also what I was alluding to, which is that this world that you're describing is, to me, very different than the thing that I wake up way too early in the morning to talk about every week-ish, mm-hmm. adjacently. Or, you know, put a lot of effort into streaming on weekends or whatever. It is to me an adjacent thing to them. It is an adjacent thing to the stuff that I am really passionate about, which frankly, fundamentally is Games Workshop stuff. I love what I pick up what they put down and I eat them up. I love it. I love their world. I love their things. And I think one of the reasons why I am often critical is because I want their stuff to be even better because I, for whatever reason, it just makes my brain explode.
Imagine when they finally push 40K into a digital format. Oh my God. When they finally release digital codexes, that's the change that we're looking for one day. Yeah. Good.
We can,
Right, you're all great. Thanks, Val. Thanks. Don't forget, Las Vegas and Open, does it start Friday or are we just straight in on Saturday?
It starts on Friday. You can tune in live, I think, around 7 p.m. GMT.
Yeah, we start at 2 Eastern.
Okay. So 2 Eastern Standard Time. I'll be tuning in. I imagine I'll also be doing some Nightbot work sometime soon. Depends if Al ever gets me that file. Which, anyone who listens to me and tries to communicate with me, is hilarious that I'm waiting on someone else. So, like, hilarious.
You've met your match, Robert. you think you can wait till the last second?
Right, you're all brilliant. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you so much. Fuck you, buddies. Please do tune in every day this week. Every day, like, if you can just open up a tab, if you're busy, I know. I just want to say, please do. That'd be so good so we can try and get those numbers up so we can hit partner. It means more emotes in the chat, which you know are only going to be, like, sarky digs at some weird in-joke, so it's brilliant.
Podcasters, you can get AR face mask things, too, now.
Yeah. There's loads what we could do if we hit partners. So please just open some tabs and just be here with us. That'd be super sweet. You guys are brilliant. Thanks for listening. Thank you to everyone in the chat. Val, thank you very much. But hopefully Pete will be back next week. Looking forward to the open.
I'll be back.
See you guys soon and have a great day.